Hi, I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine, and you're listening to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Hello, and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Today we are going to continue to focus on one of the most misunderstood issues in youth hockey today. We're talking about the rule change proposal to move the age of legal body checking in youth hockey to the bantam level. Today we're joined by Roger Grillo, a regional manager with the American Development Model. Roger has more than 20 years of coaching experience at the high school and collegiate levels. He spent 12 years as the head coach of Brown University. He was also an assistant coach at the University of Vermont and has coached two of our U.S. national teams. Roger is also a hockey dad and has coached his son Dominic's team to the national championship game last year in the Tier 2 14 and under division. Roger, thanks a lot for joining us today. Great. Well, Roger, in your role as a regional manager with the American Development Model, imagine you do quite a bit of traveling around the New England area. How much time do you spend with kids on the ice, particularly at some of the younger ages?
Over the last 2 years, I spent a ton of time, not only with my own son and his team, helping coach their Bantam team last year, and also his split season midget team this past season, but doing various clinics and coaches clinics and just spending a lot of time in the local rinks here in New England has kind of given me a much broader grasp of what's happening with youth hockey here in Massachusetts and in New England states.
And based on what you've seen being in the ranks all over the area, how would you assess the overall skill level at these ages, particularly at, let's say, the squirts and the peewee ages?
To be quite honest with you, I think it's a major concern, Harry. I think we have a ton of kids playing. We have over 70,000 kids playing here in New England, there's a great deal of passion for the sport and a lot of commitment by the parents and the kids. But I'd say the biggest concern that I see and where we're really falling short is on the overall skill development of these kids and setting them up, to have some future success, whether it be high school or prep school or junior hockey or trying to maybe go on to collegiate hockey.
And how about at the peewee level? What are some of your thoughts based on how does checking, since it's introduced at the peewee level, how do you think checking plays a role in the overall skill development? Obviously, checking's a skill, but more or less in their skating and their passing and their stick handling.
Well, it's funny you ask that question. Just this past weekend, my son had a bunch of his buddies over that were on that Bantam team that went to the national championship game last year, and they were sitting around the TV watching their game, the championship game, and so they had a group of about 10 kids who had gone through youth hockey from someone from mites all the way up through now to midgets in high school, and I asked them, I said, what's your, as a player, what was going through your mind as you hit that first year of peewee and played, peewee travel hockey, and some of them played house hockey, and the first thing that came out of one of the kids' mouths is they looked at me and said, Coach, I didn't even think about the puck. The puck was not an issue for me, this one kid said. He said, I was scared to death. I was afraid I was going to get hit from behind or get hurt. So I'd get the puck and throw it, and in most cases wouldn't even try to get the puck. And I think the reality of it is, Harry, that a lot of us as parents, we want to believe our kids are super tough and they're not afraid. There's no fear factor there. But as I travel around and I deal with these kids and lived it as a hockey parent, most of these kids, when they get to that peewee age level, the puck is a second. It's a second thought. It's not even a consideration. They're just trying to survive. And when you go into games thinking that way, your skill development's hampered anyways with the number of games some of these kids are playing and the lack of quality practices. But when you take that 36 minutes if they're playing 12-minute periods, or that 45 minutes if they're playing 15-minute periods, depending on where you play, and you take it and you turn it into a completely unproductive skill development model, because the kids are just, they're petrified. We want kids to want to get to the puck first. We want kids to make plays. We want kids to develop that hockey sense and that creativity that separates the from the average players. And the only way it's going to happen is if a kid's able to go out there and play without fear. And I think as adults, as parents, as coaches and administrators, we've got to create an environment that enhances creativity and doesn't hinder it. And I think that is absolutely critical. And I think along those lines, we've got to change the mindset of what toughness really is. And I try to tell parents and coaches and kids all the time, to me, the guy who's really tough in the sport of hockey is the guy that's willing to get there first, knowing that he's going to get hit, knowing that he's going to have to pay a price to go to the front of the net and to go to the tough areas in the rink. You know, this mentality that the guy who's throwing the check is always the tougher guy, to me, is false toughness. To me, the kid or the player who's willing to make a skilled play under duress, knowing he's going to take a hit, is the guy, to me, that's tough. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to win the games for their team, and that's what's going to allow them to develop their creativity and their skill level. And that, to me, is the type of kid that I want to coach. And I think we've just got to change the way we think and the way we coach the game at that age level.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. But you know what? As I listen to you, Roger, I know one of the things that I've heard, you know, one of the comments from people who are not in favor of this rule change proposal say is all you're doing is postponing it for 2 years until they get to the bantam level where they're bigger and stronger and faster and all that kind of stuff. What's going to be done in the course of those 2 years to make the game safer and make those kids more skilled?
Well, I think first of all, Harry, I was probably in that camp, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, before I became the ADM regional manager for USA Hockey, because I didn't have the research in front of me. I didn't know the science behind skill development. If I had known back then what I know now, I probably would have changed what I did with my own son. And I think what's got to happen is parents and coaches got to take a little bit more active role and a more of a proactive role in understanding what is best for their kids, because the long-term athletic development science that I've now been, you know, blessed with by USA Hockey to kind of become a student of this is that the skill acquisition window runs from about 7 to about 13 years of age. Well, those kids that are peewees from 11 to 13, they're in the back end of that skill acquisition window. And if they're not touching the puck and if they're not playing the puck and they're just afraid of making plays, we're really standing in the way of a lot of skill development. So I think that to answer your question is I think people got to kind of understand what's best for their kids as far as the skill window acquisition and long-term athletic development. And they got to understand that a big part of the reason for this proposal is to give the kids that environment that allows creativity and skill development. The reason to push it back 2 years later, yeah, there's safety factors, there's concussion issues, but even more so, from my standpoint as an ADM regional manager, it's to give them those 2 extra years of that skill development window acquisition to allow our kids to be that much more skilled. Because once you get past that window, once you get to the age of 13, that window's closed. You can't go back and do it over again if we've missed it because we've focused on other aspects of the game. Then our kids are going to be that much further behind when they get to Bantam. So I think there's obviously physical, emotional, social reasons to move it up to Bantam, but the skill acquisition window for me is the number one reason.
That's well said. You know, like we said before, you know, you do a lot of traveling. You talk to a lot of people at the rink. You talk to them, you know, via email, on the phone. I mean, all sorts of places. You're probably one of the most popular guys in New England when it comes to hockey. I was wondering, what's been the feedback that you've received from parents, coaches, and administrators, you know, around the region?
I think the biggest mistake some of our higher-end administrators are making right now is that they don't think they really have a strong grasp of what the people out on the street feel about this. 95% of the people that I've come in contact with as I travel around and do clinics and talk to them about the ADM and cross-ice hockey for 8 and under and everything else, when I do bring up the peewee checking proposal, 95% of them are shaking their head going, yeah, this is awesome. Why didn't you guys do this 10 years ago when my kid was going through it? Or, geez, my kid's going to miss that now. When it's explained to them, when they understand the reasons behind it, when they understand the science behind it, and then you throw on top of that the concussion issue that's happening now, and not just hockey, but in all of youth sports, 95% of people, like I said, they're shaking their head going, man, we have to do this. This is an absolute no-brainer. So I haven't gotten the negativity or the pushback that maybe has happened in some other areas. And I think that the people that have the power to make this happen need to understand that the people that this will affect, the average guy in the street and their child who's playing our sport, you know, we got to really sit back and listen to what they have to say and their concerns. And I think for a lot of our parents out there, this has been a long time coming.
Absolutely. Well, Roger, how confident are you that this rule change proposal not only will pass in June at USA Hockey's annual Congress, but also that it can be implemented in a timely and an effective manner, reaching down to the grassroots where it's needed?
Well, I think that's the biggest myth we have out there. I think a lot of people are concerned about how hard this is going to be to implement. Let's be honest with ourselves. You know, most of our kids playing our sport, the biggest base is our youngest kids. They're playing that way now. I mean, we're not changing. We're not really, in theory, we're not taking checking out of Pee Wee. We're just taking certain aspects of checking out. And so I think the reality of it is it's going to be very easy to implement. And in my mind, it's going to make it easier for coaches. It's going to take the pressure off of the coaches to really be the protector of the kids, and put the onus, you know, on them being more of a developer of the kids and focus on the passing, skating, stick handling, decision making that's so critical for the development of our sport in this country, and to take some time in practice to do some stuff off ice, to teach proper, you know, angling and checking and how to take a check. And listen, here's the reality of it. Let's have a progression here. Right now we go from nothing to all in our current system. Let's have a progression. And in our mind, we have a six-year progression. We're going to go cross ice and mites where there's going to be natural body contact and bumping and battling. We're going to progress that into squirts for two more years. We're going to take full body checking out of peewees, but we're going to encourage it to be taught in practice and off the ice. And then we're going to transition that into full body checking and bantam. So we have a six-year progression of body contact and body checking. And I think at the end of the day, we need to go back to the way maybe it was 25 years ago. And what is a good check? What is checking? I mean, checking has evolved from checking into hitting. And in my mind, a good check isn't separating somebody's, you know, head from their body. It's impeding somebody's progress. It's a good defensive play, and it's just a good, solid hockey play that doesn't end up on a highlight film. It's just something that kind of happens naturally throughout the game, and it's the onus goes on the checker to be under control, and I think that's the most important thing here. To me, this progression for 6 years is an absolute. It's something we have to do in order to develop the game the way it needs to go. And with these modern athletes, the kids are faster, stronger, bigger, and we need to make the adjustment in the modern times.
Great. Well, Roger, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk with us today, and you know, giving us some of your thoughts and insight on this important rule proposal. And that's all we have time for. And I want to make sure everybody tunes in next time when we're joined by USA Hockey's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Michael Stewart, who will discuss how this rule change proposal could potentially make the game safer. For more information about the body checking and this rule change proposal, go to usahockey.com and click on the body checking link. Thanks for listening.